Back here on WBEN, Brian Mazurowski with you until about 10 o'clock or so. Thanks for hanging out with me. 803-0930 if you want to get in on here, 803-0930 to join me this morning. And continuing the conversation of what one of the things we've been talking about throughout the morning here on WBEN, and that is the lawsuit against social media. And it's mainly social media companies. The civil suit filed by families of the top shooting victims. It was announced yesterday. It's not just social media companies. They also have the family of the shooter, something that we would get to, maybe a little bit later on. The person, the manufacturer of the body armor, the gun store involved in this. But the main focus, main takeaway was social media companies. And I think it's happening at a very interesting time to have a discussion about social media, its role in your life, and where you see the future of it being. Because it might be at a crossroads here, and it's being pulled in two different directions if you look at this suit, and then if you look at something else that was just in the news the other week. And that something else is a court decision, a federal court. You might remember hearing about this here on WBEN, Missouri versus Biden, where some states were going after the federal government, mostly related to COVID, you know, quote unquote misinformation, but things that during 2020, 2021 and beyond, things that were taken off of social media at the request of the U.S. government. So the decision, it's a preliminary injunction. This will, you know, go one of these things, you know, court. It goes on and on and on. And it's a decision by a judge that now, as of now, bars federal officials from encouraging social media platforms, ordering would be another word, you know, that would be the obvious. Strong-arming would be like a step under ordering, but, you know, kind of encouraging is probably as light as it goes. Suggesting, I guess, would be even. But it bars the White House, any other federal official from encouraging social media platforms to basically suppress speech, to hide posts, to block people from accessing the site, to do things like that. The court decision was basically that amounts to government-directed censorship. And so you had that a couple of weeks ago where you have a judge saying, listen, you cannot, as a government right now, censor what people say on social media. There are ways to do that. You could have Congress pass a law. You could have something like that. You could have new legislation out there. You could have something else from social media that it's their directive, or they change what they want on their platform. But you can't have the government going around saying, listen, I don't want this person here. This person shouldn't be allowed to say that, and so on and so forth. And so we had Terry Connors on this morning, who is one of the attorneys involved in the civil suits against social media companies and more, but mainly social media companies representing victims of the 514 families. And he said that that shouldn't really impact their suit at all, because they're looking at something else with social media. Here's what he had to say when I asked, you know, is there any impact, this recent decision on going after social media for maybe things that were posted on there?
The design of the social media platforms is a defective design. It's designed to addict and in this case, to radicalize the shooter. The proof will be very similar to some of the other litigation that has been filed regarding social media companies in the United States. There's now a focus on their conduct. There's a focus on what they're doing to derive profits from attracting users, keeping them online, diverting them to content that's in many cases harmful, persuasive, and affects their overall capacities. The concept is the product design. If you create a product and you put it into the mainstream of commerce, you have an obligation to see that that product is not defective. It's no different than automobiles or other machines and things of that nature. That's the concept. When you do manufacture something that is defective and it causes harm, there's an obligation to be held accountable.
So I thought that was very interesting. Terry Connors right there, attorney, one of the attorneys involved in this suit. And unlike a lot of times you talk about social media and things that are posted there and what might be the result of it, he's not necessarily focused on the post, the speech that goes on, right? The videos, the words. Now, you can dive a little deeper and, you know, obviously that plays a role. We heard from some of the family members there who have been, I can't imagine, people were sending them links to videos of the shooting. Like, obviously, that is an issue there. But that plays into what Connor said is their argument that social media itself, the design of the product, is defective. And he pointed to not this recent ruling about speech and how speech can be protected on social media, but pointed to the latest reports from the Surgeon General, reports from a whole lot of people about the effect of social media on children, that it's had a pretty negative effect, that you point to the point in time, right, when everybody has a smartphone and the like button comes out on Facebook and you can access it in your pocket anywhere, and all of a sudden, you know, 2009 or so, 2010, you see these rates of depression and a whole host of other things self-reported amongst teens increase exponentially. And he points to that as that shows that the product design is defective and it shouldn't be on the market, and they are responsible for that. And so now my question to everybody else out there, to all of you, is do you agree? Would you call social media, which I again is such a broad term and you can break it down any way you want to, right? Social media. I mean, what constitutes social media? Like everything is social media. They're naming specific companies in here. YouTube as a form of social media. And, you know, Google runs YouTube. Google is Alphabet. Alphabet's who's named in the suit. Twitter is a form of social media. So is Facebook. They're two very different things. But they both kind of fall under this umbrella. Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, you hear about in the news all the time, all under the news umbrella of social media. So are things that you wouldn't necessarily think of. The Nextdoor app. How many people out there use that? The Nextdoor app. It's like super common. I think most people who use the Nextdoor app, they download it right when you move into a new neighborhood. You check out what's going on. I think for the vast majority of people, you say like, oh, like one other person in a square mile uses this, so I guess it's not going to be all that good. Some people, you know, use it for a little while, then get sick of it. And then other people are addicted to it because there's drama that plays out on the Nextdoor app telling you what's going on, right, in your own little block or community or however you set the perimeter for. But that's a form of social media. We don't think of it in the same way, but it is. I mean, what else can fall? There's a million different things that can fall into that umbrella of social media, messaging apps. I think, did I mention Instagram? I would have. You know, Instagram's new version of Twitter. There's a new one every single day. I try to go through my phone to see like what falls under the umbrella of social media on my phone. A lot of different things. Like Venmo, the payment, like that is kind of a form of social media. You're interacting with each other through how you pay other people. Very weird, but it is a form of social media. Twitch, you know, the popular streaming site where people stream anything on Twitch. You can watch, I think people think of it as the video game streaming thing, but they've put live sports and talk shows on Twitch. Discord, that's another one. All of these things fall under the umbrella of social media. The argument presented yesterday was that it is defective, that it has an inherent product defect, a defect in the design, and that defect has allowed people to be radicalized online, people to have mental health issues. It has allowed people to over and over view things that might be damaging to their health. To go through the, you know, how many times have you heard go through the YouTube rabbit hole, right? And so my question to you is, do you agree? Do you agree? Is it defective? Is there something wrong with social media? And I want to hear how you use social media. What site are you on and how do you use it? Even if you're all, if we were all on the same exact site, I mean, let's use Facebook for an example. There's a million different ways, you know, we just throw out Facebook. There's a million different ways that people use Facebook. It's crazy. But your utilization of Facebook might be different from mine, and we could be on the same exact app, and one person can have a big problem with it. Right, like one person can be viewing all these things that Terry Connors, that you heard some of the people talk about yesterday. You could be, you know, viewing horrible stuff. You could be reading crazy stuff over and over again. Fall into that echo chamber, the rabbit hole of people agreeing with it, and then all of a sudden come out with a different worldview. And then I'm over here using the same app, saying, well, it's an easy way to organize a party and know who's going to bring the roles. And it's all done on the same thing. So how do you use social media? Which ones do you use? And how do you go about doing it? I have, you know, on my phone a different... And by the way, do you agree or disagree with that defective nature? I like that it's a different argument than the speech argument. And... You know, both stemming from what happened in that court decision just recently where the judge ruled you can't kind of strong arm these companies into censoring people, where it would be very tough to have somebody say, listen, we need to completely put the muzzle on people online. Rather than doing that, they're going after the design of the product, which you've heard of doom scrolling, things that make people angry get clicks, and things that get clicks go into the algorithm and, you know, pop up at the top. That to me is a different way of looking at it, and I think maybe a more viable way. But how do you use social media? We'll go to the phones, 803-0930 to join me here on WBEN. Tahir in Amherst, you're on WBEN. How's it going this morning?
Hi, Brian. I have, you know, I think social media is flawed. There's a lot of questionable content on there. There's a lot of violent content out there. You know, I belong to a minority community, which is very, a lot, which is, really persecuted around the world. And I, you know, there's a few videos on YouTube that literally calls for people of my community or any other community. You know, there's a lot of videos. There are really calls for people to be killed, just in plain words, you know. And I would report it, and they will not take it down. And I know you could get in trouble by saying stuff that's on there, but it's just it. I think there, if it doesn't fall into their maybe in their algorithm, it falls through the cracks.
It's a tricky situation, maybe not so much in the what you described, right? Because what you described would be a call to violence, you know, a call to action. And if you could show that caused somebody to go out and do that, you know, that would not be protected speech, you know, in any, you know, social media or saying it out loud or saying it right here. But how...
That is true, and I've seen actually few instances that somebody followed a pretty nut guy on the social media, and they actually went to kill somebody, and the person who's spreading the hate claims the credit for that, and he's still on the social media, and that should not be allowed.
How should it be dealt with, though? Like, that's the main question. Is it a problem with posts they show? Should social media companies be in charge of policing all that? I mean, if that is something that has to be policed, who gets to make that decision?
So I think it should be like anything else, you know, like this radio, for example. There's a certain point where the freedom of speech and I think a lot of the content is over that point. So, probably the social media company should be able to police it. I mean, I'm all for free speech. That's one thing I love about this country is free speech. I mean, you could criticize anybody and anybody, but there's a point where free speech ends, and that should, you know, there's somebody got to be able to do something. I think it's only social media companies who can do it. Who else is going to do it?
Hey, Dyer, thanks so much for the call and the time this morning. The tricky part of the question, I think most people would agree with that, right? Like, hate speech and violent calls to action, right? Like, that's not okay. But then it becomes like one of these, you know, it almost reminds me of like the state's latest push to lower the DWI threshold, right? 0.08 to 0.05. And it's one of these things where it's like, I don't know, but I don't really want to say that's a bad idea because it's not like I'm pro drinking and driving. But, like, I don't know about, like, something about it makes me a little uncomfortable. And that's kind of the feeling I have when you start to talk about, okay, we all agree that, you know, this type of language has no place anywhere. But then when we start to have the conversation of, okay, well, who is in charge of policing that language and making the decision on what's okay and what's not, that's when you start to... I get into the weeds there and have a difficult time. It's unfeasible. I think, like, the correct answer would be the group decides, right? Like, the vast majority of people decide what's okay, what's not. But it's not feasible to have, like, every user vote on every controversial post, and that would defeat the purpose anyway, right? Because then everybody would have to see it. So, like, what small group do you trust to make those decisions? Because as we go back to this, you know, misinformation case, Missouri versus Biden just recently... I don't know if I want to trust, no matter who's in the White House, the federal government with telling social media what should and shouldn't be allowed on there. I think I would have an easier time trusting the social media company because, after all, it is their platform, is their product, is their business. Unless you're somebody who views it as a public utility, a modern-day town square, as we've been told so many times before. And then do you have the power to limit any speech? It's a tricky situation. Or is the genie just out of the bottle? Is the best way just to shut it all down? You can let me know. 803-0930. I have to take a break. The news is coming up with Lucas. I'll be back right after that. If you're on hold, stay there. Give me a call. 803-0930. Brian Mazurowski here on WBEN. It's Brian Mazurowski with you on WBEN this morning. I hope everyone's having a nice Thursday start to the day. We're talking about social media on the heels of this lawsuit that was announced yesterday. Victims, family members of victims of the Tops shooting, filing civil suit against a number of entities, but most prominently social media companies for what they feel is their role in this. We talked with attorney Terry Connors, who's part of that suit, earlier this morning. He said that it's the product design, that social media itself is defective in the way that it operates. It's not necessarily the speech on the social media platforms. It's not because there's certain things allowed to be said, but the design of social media itself. I'm wondering what you think about that, how you use social media. And, you know, if there does need to be a change, what should that change look like? 803-0930, we'll go back to the phones. We'll go to Kyle in Amherst. Kyle, how's it going this morning?
Hey, great. Good day today, so far at least. I don't know about social media. It's just a different technology used today than the old-fashioned way of newspapers and magazines. And, you know, there was different groups of people out there that always, I mean, if we're talking about just hate and promoting violence, I mean, look at the KKK in this country. I mean, their platform has always been typically about hate, and they scratch the borderline of promoting violence. So, I mean, until you address those type of groups, I mean, really, you should be able to say what you want on social media.
Yeah,
really.
I guess the difference that people point out and the difference between that, and there's a couple people on our text board, Kyle, who are along the same line. Somebody said, you know, if TV, radio regulated, why not social media too? Or, you know, it is the new form of media. The difference is how widespread it is. So, right, you mentioned the KKK and they're spreading their hate. But, you know, what did that look like 50 years ago or so? You know, it was a leaflet or something like that. It was word of mouth. And now it's something where you can reach everybody instantly. And I guess, like, the question here is, because of that power and that ability to reach basically everybody on the face of the earth in a matter of moments without having to try or anything, should that change the speech we allow? You know, maybe like how TV and radio are regulated.
Well, this lawsuit is going to show that social media, at least the major companies, if they don't address the inappropriate, consistent behavior of certain groups of people. See, if you post something occasionally, that doesn't qualify you. But if you're a known person that's always preaching and spewing hate and violence, that those are the people who you have to address. And if the social media platform doesn't address them, then they should. I mean, this lawsuit, they're going to be sued. And then if they are forced to pay a judgment, then they're going to force themselves to have to crack down. See, when you start suing people, that's when people start paying attention. You know, when you hit them at the financial pocketbook, they're like, okay, all right, maybe we should, wherever they do to delete the person or group of people off
right.
their platform, you know. I mean, most of the stuff I only use is Facebook, Instagram, and stuff like that. But those major companies, you know, I think they do okay job with monitoring of that stuff. But, you know, I think we're just living in a technological world where freedom of speech has gone amok. I mean, Supreme Court, they're useless, so don't even try to take it to them.
Well, hey, Kyle, Before we let you go, I want to ask, you mentioned Facebook, Instagram. How do you use social media? What do you use it for?
Well, I use a lot of it to connect with old friends from school that I went with. I actually really originally got on Facebook because of my kids' travel sports and connecting with other travel like-minded people. And then I kind of got sucked into some of the political stuff where I really tried to avoid it, that. But for the most part, I use it for the more fun atmosphere, connecting with friends, showing pictures and funny videos and stuff like that. But the topic you're talking about only covers a small percent of people. So if the majority were being attacked on social media, I guarantee you there would be an uproar. But only most of the groups that are being vilified, or at least hated and attacked, promotion at least, are small groups of minorities. So, again, their concerns doesn't get addressed because they only make up 10%, 12%, maybe 13% of the population. So if you had 65% of the population be and said, oh, hate towards them, let's kill them, they shouldn't be here, they're taking over, I guarantee you, you see it more of a response, because you're talking about majority of America instead of the minority, you know?
Hey, I appreciate the call, Kyle, and thanks for the time this morning. There's a couple points there. The one I want to hit on before I it slips my mind and I forget because your brain gets so scattered is what he said about how he uses social media, and isn't that the trap that everybody falls in? And this would kind of go to the Terry Connors argument that he spelled out for us of how they're suing social media companies, to where he said, I mean, do you sound like this? Do you sound like Kyle? He went on to better coordinate and communicate with other parents and organizations involved in his kids' little leagues, and then ends up getting sucked into the political arguments. I mean, how is that, 75% of people on Facebook? 100? Like, how typical is that story? That's like everybody, right? That you hear about is, oh, well, I'm on. Nobody goes on. Maybe some people do. But nobody, and this is, I guess, the argument for the design of the product is defective. Nobody with a sound mind goes on a Facebook or a Twitter or an Instagram or whatever it is, logs on, creates an account, and starts off with the idea that, you know what, I'm doing this so that I can spend hours a day arguing with people I don't know about things I have no control over. Who does that? It's probably more people than I think. I'm probably way underestimating that number, aren't I? Every one of you is like thinking of somebody right now. It's like, yeah, you're actually describing my cousin right now. Like, that's, what are you talking about? Nobody does that. I know like 7 people who do that. But I don't think that was the initial goal, right? Like the first time you create an account. Like you go on social media for, it's any number of reasons. He mentioned connecting with friends, right? That's how Facebook started, right? You're connecting with friends. It's another way to chat with friends, share photos with friends. Like that's the main thing, right? That's Instagram. That was like the main Facebook thing was you put a bunch of pictures on there like, hey, look at us. What a great time we had 2 hours ago. Like that was Facebook. Like that's everyone's idea of a good time. And you do it with that sort of knowledge. You go on Twitter. Like when I signed up for Twitter, my whole goal was I wanted to stop refreshing tsn.ca/NHL on like trade deadline day and July 1st, right? Because that's how you used to have to like keep up to date with the news. You'd just refresh, and then you'd refresh like a fifth time and boom, like something else would pop up. You'd have like, oh, Sabres made a trade. We finally found out about it. So I went on Twitter because you didn't have to do that. It would just like scroll down, like all of a sudden, boom, like all the information's right on your phone. Never in a million years did I think that a very short period of time later, in less than a decade, that would turn into these stories about the White House telling Twitter, the company, to shut down tweets that said that masks don't work. But that's what happened. Never in a million years did you sign up for Facebook to share pictures with friends and think that you'd write more words than you ever wrote in your high school and college career combined, arguing with either a relative or a random person you've never met about the ramifications of the latest Supreme Court decision. Like, what? Why didn't you have that ability in sixth grade? You would have gotten an A. But to that point, and that's what Terry Connors is arguing here, like, is the product design defective? Here's what he said with us this morning.
The design of the social media platforms is a defective design. It's designed to addict, and in this case, to radicalize the shooter. The proof will be very similar to some of the other litigation that has been filed regarding social media companies in the United States. There's now a focus on their conduct. There's a focus on what they're doing to derive profits from attracting users, keeping them online, diverting them to content that's in many cases harmful, persuasive, and affects their overall capacities. The concept is the product design. If you create a product and you put it into the mainstream of commerce, you have an obligation to see that that product is not defective. It's no different than automobiles or other machines and things of that nature. That's the concept. When you do manufacture something that is defective and it causes harm, there's an obligation to be held accountable.
So maybe there's a point there when you start thinking about, you know, the point Kyle, the caller, and you can weigh into 803-0930, send a text or give a call, 803-0930. When Kyle said, like, look, I signed up for Facebook and I was just trying to stay on top of the Little League schedule and say hi to a couple friends from high school. And all of a sudden I'm like lost in this political discussion or seeing people say that they hate me. Like, what? How did that happen? When you put it in those words, that does sound like a defective product. If you bought a stove and you wanted it to cook a turkey, and there's something wrong with it, and in addition to cooking a turkey, it started spitting out corn on the cob, like all over the kitchen, I don't know. Like, that product would be defective. Is that what Facebook is doing? You came for the turkey, you got sidetracked by the corn. It's still useful, and like, here's the third point in all of this. So you go from, I don't know if, you know, Facebook's really to blame, and then you kind of fall in this, well, like, maybe the product is defective because I sign up for one reason, and then after a year, all I see is hate instead of invites to barbecues. But then there's like the outside person again, and somebody texted this in a little bit ago, and you can't have the conversation without also bringing this in. Person texts in, good morning, where is personal accountability? Why is everything always something else's fault? And that's like the one problem I'll have. Like, everything sounds good. Like, it sounds like, yeah, there is a big problem. There is a big problem. Until you remember, oh, yes, I am a person, not a robot. I have autonomy over my own life and my own choices. and I can choose to fall down a rabbit hole on Facebook, or I could choose to not use it. I could choose to engage in these mindless debates with people I don't know, or I could choose to only follow the three people who break hockey trades, like I originally set out and intended to do. And then, you know, the biggest of all is I can choose to, which is the hope that I have and that I still think most people have, I can choose to, when I hear something ridiculous, when I hear something clearly hateful, when I hear a call to violence, when I hear crazy arguments, conspiracy theory, you name it, I can choose to ignore it, like sane people have done throughout the course of human history. The majority of us. That's how we got here. That's why we have the supercomputer in our pocket. We went from the caves all the way to now is because the majority of people with a right mind reject those ideas and don't get sucked into it. And where does the personal accountability lie? And you know, that goes for everybody. Where's the personal accountability of the user? You know, when we're talking about young kids under 18, where's the personal accountability for the parents? You know, if we know that teens' brains aren't fully developed and they're easily sucked into this thing, and it has a detrimental impact on a lot of teens, we're seeing from these studies, especially teen girls. The parent has a choice and has a, you know, personal responsibility to say, no, you can't use it. Like, there has to be some room for that. You can't put all the blame, as much as you could say, as well, like, oh, there needs to be some sort of reform here. I don't know what it looks like, but something needs to change. You know, you are a person with free will. You could choose to not use it at all. So that plays into it somewhere, too. I'll kind of go about with my, you know, social media. I'm fine. I'm not looking for any new social medias anywhere. You won't find me on Threads. You'll rarely find me diving into the muck. I was made fun of recently. Stayed up late last night, later than anticipated. So the soccer game started at 7:30, which means it should end at 9:30. Because, I mean, you can get 2 hours. You can count on it. And, you know, that's what happened, but it was tied, so it had to go an extra time. Then went into penalties, and we lost. Trying to pretend that I'm not upset about it today like everyone else is. But anyway, my, like, diving into, because it is addicting, right? Like, going into the comments, reading some of the comments, looking at some of the debates. Sometimes it will get your blood boiling. And if you do have social media and you see this, you see that family member post something that you are just like, you want to scream inside and you want to type back, but you have the personal restraint to not do anything. My go-to now has been diving into the comments on like stories about the soccer team. And like, it's a perfect thing because it's something that at the end of the day doesn't matter at all. And like, at the end of the day, how upset can you really be like about a sports team? But I'll dive into the U.S. soccer comments, drop a little here and there, go back and forth with people. And that's something at the end of the day you can easily walk away from or turn out. You just do it at those times when you're not watching. We were out had a big fantasy football draft and, you know, big party last weekend. And my buddy goes to me. He's like, you know, this, there you go again. It's, you've been hanging out all day. We've been here drinking. It's midnight. What? It's about time for you to hop on those U.S. soccer comments. Dive into the comment section. Hop on Twitter. Go back and forth with people over that. That's the only place I'm looking for conflict. Nowhere else. I'll use it sparingly. I'll organize some events on Facebook. I might look to see if anyone has one of those sweet Marv Levy Bills sweaters that I've been looking for. I use the marketplace there. Other than that, Facebook, no. Twitter, I'll look at my hockey trades. Instagram, I see when the bands are coming in town. Get all the alerts for the shows. That's good enough for me. I'll be back here tomorrow, bright and early. You got David coming up next after the news with Lucas. Thanks for hanging out with me, Brian Mazurowski on WBEN.